Well, everybody, we made it. It is the end. It is after the end. We wrapped everything up yesterday, and now we are here zombied. I actually went down to write today and got shanghaied very pleasantly by a neighbor coming over, and I spent 4.5 hours talking instead, and it was so lovely. So I'll get back to it tomorrow. But I think I needed the day off. Also got to play with the plasma cutter for a few hours. Got a bunch of stuff cut up for a new project. How is everybody doing?
Wait. We haven't introduced ourselves.
Oh, that's right! We haven't introduced ourselves. I'm sorry. Boy, you can tell how wrung out I was. Welcome to the Everyday Novelist 2020 NaNoWriMo Write-Through Post-Game Show. I am your host, J. Daniel Sawyer, and I am joined by your co-host...
Kitty Nakian.
Boy, that's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And also by our fellow travelers on this arduous but enjoyable journey, we have...
Tori.
And...
Alexis the Great.
And finally...
Gail Carriger. Hi.
Hi. How's everybody doing today?
I just woke up from a nap.
Yes, I know.
Same.
I saw you there.
I don't nap, so not me.
I've been tired all the damn day.
Did the nap help?
Maybe.
Not sure yet?
Not sure yet.
Well, it's been a month. Been...
That happens every 30 days.
Wait, why did you say 38?
You guys are no help at all. She said every 30 days or so.
Oh, okay. I am feeling airheadish. I just read a comic from start to finish in about 7 hours. Actually, 6 hours and 59 minutes.
You timed it. I'm impressed.
No, no, my phone times it. Because I want it to. So I basically just wasted all that caffeine on an emotional break, which doesn't really make sense to me, especially because it's dead week.
It makes
Monday.
A lot of sense. Everybody needs a recharge day. I was just
telling
you about
my
recharge
day. No, but why do I need caffeine for that? I think I just wasted that caffeine.
Did you like it?
Did you do something you enjoyed?
Yes.
Then it wasn't a waste.
Was the coffee or soda or tea delicious?
Yes.
Then that's not a waste. I frequently drink coffee not because I'm tired or sleepy or trying to stay awake, but because I like coffee.
It's not a waste, but it happened at a highly inappropriate time.
I can get behind that. I like highly inappropriate things.
Woohoo!
But it's procrastination that I really can't afford right now.
Well, the good thing about procrastination is that you can always do it, because if nothing else, you can always put off procrastinating until later.
But I didn't.
No, but...
You could have.
You could have.
So you're fine.
You guys are a great influence.
Thank you. We do our best to do our worst. Oh... Well, since you're on the hot seat, how was this experience for you? Your first attempt to do a novel? Your first attempt to write to a deadline and accountability group?
Angering, because I know I could have done it the right way, but I didn't have the fucking time.
Oh.
Because I saw myself do those 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could have done that more consistently with a plan. And without finals week... Bada-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da- supposed to be working thing. Right now. It was before noon. And it's green tea. It's not supposed to be strong. No, this isn't caffeine.
It's not supposed this to be harsh. This is post-story. That's the difference.
This is post-happy ending story with the whole, I get to read three episodes that don't really add too much to the ending, but are going to be, like, happy extras and, you know, the stuff that ends with a romance and a sci-fi.
Cool. Would you be willing to share the link with us so I can put it in the show notes for the listeners?
Yes, but not out loud.
Okay.
It's just, I...
You don't have to, if you're embarrassed. So, sounds like it was a valuable experience to you.
Why?
You learned, well, you were saying that you got an idea of what you're capable of.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What you might, yeah. I'm sorry, the NaNoWriMo challenge. Yeah, topic switch.
And I'm also irritated with myself because I think I could have done substantially better than I did with these current given circumstances.
That means you'll do better next time you try something like this. Because now you know.
Or die trying.
That's always a viable option.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, die trying is the proudest human thing. How about you, Tori?
Ow! Oh, there's a cat trying to climb up me. Rude.
And well, that's cats. Cats are professionally rude.
Which is why I like them.
You pay them?
I do pay them to just torture me. That's what I love. So I got over 15,000 words. My original goal was 15,000, but then I wanted to do 18,000, and it just did not happen. And that's okay. So I did three times what I did last year, which is pretty good for me, considering that for everybody, November is that month. It's just that month that everything seems to fall apart, yeah. Right?
Well, that is the reason Chris picked November. So
everything fell apart. I'm not crying. You're crying.
Don't worry, we're all crying.
So yeah, we're all crying. So yeah, I got more than I thought I would, and I'm happy about that. And I've learned to not beat myself up too much, only in a good way. about this.
Reminds me of the Addams Family.
I don't know what I'm doing. I woke up like 10 minutes ago.
So did we.
Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job.
That's my job. Well, that's what I grew up on, so. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so tired. I literally, Tom came in, he was like, aren't you supposed to be doing something? And I was like, like literally, like, pulled my bed into the air. I was like, oh, shit. So here I am.
Welcome.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like a squirrel. I don't like squirrels. A cat.
That's better than being bright-tailed and bushy-eyed.
Yes, that's how I feel.
Oh, boy.
All of the above. I don't know.
Oh, how about you, Gail? How was the month for you?
Well, I had a different goal with NaNo than a lot of people, I think, which is I wanted to see if I could write every day for a month, because I don't think I've ever done that in my life, and I didn't, so I kind of failed in my NaNo goal. But don't worry, I always take failure as an example rather than an ego hit. It doesn't bother me to fail, it's a learning exercise.
And you did get damn close.
I did. I think I skipped two days.
Yep.
But I don't know that I will ever put that down as a goal going forward. I'm like, oh, I just don't think I'm the kind of person who likes to write every day. I think I need to rest, and that's a learning. So even if I did NaNo, like fully NaNo, I would just double down on word counts on different days.
Makes sense.
Stuff like that. Yeah, and I mean, it was interesting for me. It's my first NaNo. I've never done it before. I had no idea what it was going to be like in any way. And yeah, I don't know if I'll do it again. That was a question I was going to ask everybody, is whether they're planning on doing NaNo again next year. If I am back in circuit and, you know, have a vaccine in my system and I'm traveling again, then I probably won't ever do NaNo until I retire or what have you. Because it is November, and I just don't care to participate in something dumb, which is trying to write every day in November. That's dumb. Sorry, everybody. I don't care what the intent on choosing November was. It was a stupid idea, and everybody knows it should have been either January or February. or maybe March.
Why not March? Yes, thank you.
March starts con season and events and stuff, so I always think January is the best time to do this kind of thing, because nobody goes anywhere or does anything in January.
That's true. Everybody's tired.
Everybody's tired and overseeing people and doing things and giving gifts, and all we want to do is hunker down and write
things. I'd say the same thing about finals, that it's stupid to do them in November.
Yeah, but you got to do that because you're about to go home, although that was always the theory on finals. The term system in the U.S. makes no sense either, but that's a little bit. While we're at it, the whole temporal evaluation of the year doesn't work out. Why is October the 10th month, for example? Why are all of our months 30 days with, like, extra days of celebration at the very end? Like, what is February doing with itself? It makes no sense whatsoever, and the Romans were on crack.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Romans fucked it up.
blame the Romans for everything.
Especially for deifying both Julius and Augustus, which pushed October to the 10th month instead of the 8th month.
Very distressing. yes, so that's my feeling on having done my first Anno, is that for me it's probably going to be a thing that I do or like or will do again. Although I never like to talk myself into corners, so there's always a possibility that I will be in lockdown next November and go through this again with y'all.
Well, you'll be welcome to come back if you are so inclined or feel so pressured by various things in the world blowing up. Who knows?
I am pleased because now I get to, having had experienced one whole Nano, I get to have an opinion on it.
There you go. You're good at having opinions.
I am. It's my only good skill set, actually. I'm mostly composed of ready opinions. Austin Wednesday.
Born academic.
How about you, Kitty?
That is what. So I have to say really quickly, I did not write today because I needed a break, but also because I spent most of the day arguing over romance tropes and suspense tropes and cozy mystery tropes on the internet. Which was very fun.
It does sound fun. So,
yes. A new show has entered my ballywick, which is the first romantic suspense TV show I think I've ever seen, and I'm so excited about it because it is straight up romantic suspense. At least I think so. It's not done yet, so I can't tell you until I know for sure, until the whole thing is done. It's 10 episodes, so. But I thought it was going to be a cozy mystery, and it's turning out that it's a romantic suspense, and I'm very excited about this.
Nice! Because, it's hard to find good romantic suspense.
It's practically non-existent in Hollywood. They don't like the apple pie demographic, but. That's other discussion. But it is very exciting to see.
Excellent.
And tell everyone else about it when it's finished in a couple of months. And I can reliably tell you, because I don't like to recommend something until I know it ends happily. So I refuse to tell the world. But then I'll tell the world. If it ends happily, I will crow about this thing.
Nice.
Until the cast come home.
How about you, Kitty?
What
are your reflections on this epic journey?
I think I should back off on writing novels for a while, because I can't write a complete story that finishes, and I ought to just try short stories for a while, and maybe if I'm able to consistently finish short stories that seem reasonably coherent to me, then maybe I will try writing a novel.
So what my assistant does for Nano is tends to write just short stories or shorter pieces and tries to do 50,000 words, but as different projects in chunks, and has done it for years that way. I think it's a
good way to do it.
Cool way to do it.
Yeah.
And
I think I might try doing the Bradbury thing.
The Bradbury challenge?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Maybe starting in January.
That would be a fun way to do Nano. Now that I think about, like, never doing Nano again, I'm thinking if I did have, like, only 3 weeks or only 2 weeks or something to try and use Nano to churn out a couple of short stories.
Yeah.
Because they're always useful.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of
indeed
production end of the of the writer spectrum.
Yep. And, after my first, that first novel attempt I whined about, or that we talked about yesterday, I did just short stories for years. partly because I wanted to learn how to tell a really tight story. And it was very, very useful. And now I don't do them as much as I'd like because I've got so many novel ideas bursting out around my head and the market for short stories is not great. But I do like to return to them every once in a while because they're so much fun.
I should say that as a professional writer, I agree with Dan, the market is not great, but the tool that a short story can become if you're an established author is actually really good. There's a different reason to want to write them. Mm-hmm. So what about the rest of you? Are you all planning on doing Nano next year?
Yeah, well, I'm going to do it next year. November is a great month for me because there's a lot of stuff that Nano helps me avoid that drives me nuts, like election season and holidays. And, you know, Thanksgiving is fine, but being able to opt out of all of the family drama that sometimes attends it is very, very pleasant because
You like the excuse that Nano gives you. I like the excuse.
It's also, now that I'm living in a northern climate, this didn't used to be the case in California, but now that I'm living in more northerly climates, the season shift that happens in late October is wonderfully focusing, and it drives me to the keyboard anyway. And so having another excuse to do that is quite pleasant.
I think I will be doing NaNoWriMo. Y'all keep on switching up what it's called on me. I've heard at least three things.
Well, it's called the National Novel Writing Month, which shortened is NaNoWriMo, and then we shorten it even more to Nano because we're that way.
All right, Nano.
And sometimes on the show, we call it the Nano Gang or the Nano Gangbang because I'm weird.
I think my favorite is the Nano Gangbang. I think if I'm not in college next year at this time, I will definitely do it. Unless I have like some sort of full-time art career. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Because, like, I'm probably not going to be in college unless if it's a small amount of credits. Or I get a free ride that I just can't resist. I'm losing my train of thought rapidly.
That's okay.
I warned y'all, airhead tonight.
That's not a problem.
Tori, what about you? Are you going to do it?
Yes. Maybe. We'll see what's happening next November. It's kind of an up in the year. Yes, it's an up in the year.
This was your second year, right?
Okay. And last year I did about not quite 5,000 words. So this year I've tripled that, which I'm happy about. So it could be that I might just hold on to this story and try to triple what I have now next year. I mean, I could try to do it beforehand, but I don't foresee that happening within the next 6 months. And yes, I am a planner that way. I have that problem. So within the next 6 months, not likely, but if I did this Nano thing again, I might try to triple the 15,000 mark that I have and then create a whole novel.
Cool.
I don't know. Here's me backing away slowly, but while in my chair.
The other thing just occurred to me that I really like about doing Nano as a personal rule that I instituted for myself last year when I decided to tackle it was that if I do it, I do stuff that isn't in a series. And I've got so many series going on that it's nice to have a slot of time carved out to do something that's not part of a series, just do a standalone
novel.
Sort
of be experimental and just let your creative brain run. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was accidentally what happened to me, but I did not do that intentionally, but that is a good thought. What about you, Kitty? Are you going to do it next year?
I don't know. It depends a bit on whether I'm able to do any writing consistently between now and then, because if I take a 11-month break from writing and then try to do another novel, I think it will be just setting myself up for a major fail. And on the other hand, if I do manage to do something like the Bradbury Challenge next year and get some consistency on that, I might either try a novel or just a few short stories.
Do we have any other wrap-up questions, Dan?
We did have a group of five that were following us along on the forums, in addition to everyone who's been listening. And they turned in some pretty good stuff. This was a first time for most of them, either first time ever doing Nano or first time getting back on the horse after having been knocked off really badly from a professional writing career by personal stuff. JR pulled 19,000 plus despite having a very arduous month. Holly Mathnerd pulled 23,000, her first ever attempt at writing fiction. Ed and Shay dropped off, and Indiana Jim all dropped off pretty early, but they were plugging away for quite a while. I didn't get their final totals. And Teresa crossed the 50,000 word mark.
Woohoo! A winner!
So congratulations to all of you.
That is great, everybody. That's exciting.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Do we have anything else in the questions on the forum? Nope. That's it.
Does anyone have...
I do have something I'd like to discuss. I'm really scared of publishing anything. Like...
Oh, that's a good topic.
I think the idea of even sharing it with someone makes me feel guilty.
Guilty?
Why? Like you're wasting their time?
Yes. 100%. And also, it's bad. And I don't know how to edit it to make it good. And it can be kind of disturbing. But... in a way that I don't think even people that would like it, that like disturbing stories, would enjoy it because it's poorly written.
Well, the poorly written is first novel stuff. It happens. And if you would like me to take a look at it, I will be happy to.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. I don't offer
things. Doesn't seem fair.
I don't offer things I'm not willing to follow through on.
I know, but it doesn't seem fair. I'm a really slow reader, and I'm working on, like, five different of your books, and I haven't gotten through any of them.
That's not how this works. This is a pay-forward. See, when I did my first novel, the one that I finished up when I was 12 and then rewrote endlessly for the next several years, I learned a lot in those revisions due to an older friend who knew something about writing, basically twisting my arm into letting him see it, and then giving me notes and pointing out where I had done things right, and much more frequently where I had done things wrong or things that had tripped me up. You know, he could actually point to, you did this on this page, and then two pages later, that screwed you over here. Those kinds of things, I suppose not every writer goes through that, but having older writers who are willing to mentor you is one of the things that most of us have gone through and benefited from tremendously. And the deal is, if we've benefited from that, we pay it forward by doing it for the next generation from time to time.
Does it have to be the next generation of writers? Because I don't know if I'll actually ever be good at this.
Well, you'll never know unless you try. You are
There are other pay-it-forward ways. Yes, you can pay it forward in a different field. Yes, absolutely. For sure. Okay. I don't pay forward by mentoring.
I misunderstood.
Because I'm even kind of doing that currently, a little bit, which always feels nice.
It's the generational contract. It's a beautiful thing.
I should say that I did not have an older writer, really, but I did grow up around writers, although I would never have given them any of my stuff. Because they were not the kind of writers whose opinion I cared about. Or I cared for. Beat poets, shall we say. Because that's what they were. I had friends. So that would be the other thing to do, is just to find yourself a creative friends. I know it's easier said than done. But who are my age and who are going through the process at pretty much at exactly the same pace that I was. And so we could suffer through collecting rejections together and correcting each other's work. And learning how to develop a critical eye by reading other people's stuff that we could then turn around and apply to our own stuff. That was basically my high school experience.
Well. Yep. Mine were in college, but
Yes, but my only problem with that is that people my age care a lot more about what's cringy, as a rule of thumb.
If you're writing things that could be cringy, you want people who don't care so much about that.
Exactly. They're out there.
Yeah, they're out there. Or you do, and you use it as a way to develop the callus over hearing people complain about cringe, which is also an important thing to develop.
I can do that, but not yet. That's what this webcomic site is for.
Excellent.
If I get any traction, I will hear it there.
Most of my high school friends were also writers who didn't write the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we all had to, speaking of cringe factor or whatever, we all had to learn how to be critical just of things that were not to our taste. Mm-hmm. Like one of us was a poet. One of us was a realistic zine writer. Like one of us is, my best friend is a sci-fi fantasy author, but completely different style from me. And so we had to just learn how to critique and how to look at other people's work as a written work art form with nothing to do with genre. Now, that's not something I recommend when you go forth and then start to think about publishing or start to think about a developmental editor or whether you're when you're further on in your career. We're talking about early on and generally speaking younger. Mm-hmm. But it is nice. I actually have always been really, really grateful that I spent my sort of formative, early, foundational years of being a younger writer around a bunch of other writers who were not genre, by and large, who were in fact writers of all different types. Because one of the things we all learned as a result of that was to look at writing as writing.
Yep.
How to criticize writing and how to criticize something that apparently opinion-wise you wouldn't like, you wouldn't pick up, and you probably wouldn't read.
But how to approach it on its own terms.
You can still do that. Yep. Yeah, exactly. How to approach on its own terms is actually a really useful skill set to have. I think I've lost it over the past decade because I don't have the patience or time or interest in reading anything that doesn't appeal to me anymore. But early on, for writing, from purely writing skills sets, I think, having a critique group, for lack of a better term, that is kind of at the same stage in their writing journey and perhaps writes different things.
It's
pretty useful.
And quite a lot about what you get out of that, too, is just the solidarity, the sense that you're not doing it on mm-hmm. your own and that there are other people who are similarly crazy who like doing this very unusual activity.
And it seems more approachable.
Yeah, it makes it seem more approachable.
Exactly. But that pattern will repeat itself throughout your life as a creative, if you're lucky, I think. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I have a group of fellow writers who I used to refer to as the Young Lions, but we're not young anymore. But it is a group of people who I met early on in the convention circuit right after I debuted as a traditionally published, like, full-service author. And I made friends with a bunch of other authors who were at exactly the same point in their career, mm-hmm. Had maybe one or two books out, were just starting, and we would all talk about contract terms and that sort of a thing. And so I've kind of retained that group as well. And then you meet another, like I've met another group when I transitioned to doing hybrid, and another group when I hit, New York Times and a million books in print and all that sort of a thing. But I still have, I still have the group of writers that I wrote with in high school, you know? And so you end up with all of these professional peers at different points in your creative journey. And they become your safety net professionally and creatively. And Dan is one of those for me. And these people that you can go to and you can be like, I'm dealing with this crisis professionally or creatively. I have a toolkit of humans who I can be like, Dan, can I call you up and like bounce this idea off of you? Or I'm really frustrated about this. Or Dan was the person who taught me how to upload my first short story to Amazon. That was Dan, who literally sat across the table from me and walked me through it. So learning as a creative how to communicate and talk to and befriend your peers is also really, I think, a really, yes, really important thing. Young.
Yeah, and not all of those friendships may persist, but some of them will persist forever. And Gail and I ran into each other at an experimental archaeology shindig that she was putting on.
Way back in the day.
What was it, 12 years ago, 13 years ago now? And
I'm scared to say that it might be even longer than that.
Very quickly became fast friends and only later discovered that we were both writers. At that point, we decided to start writing together. And for the 10 years since, every week we can manage it, we get together one or two days a week and write. When we were in person, it was at a coffee shop. And since I moved away, it's over the internet. And it's one of those wonderful things that provides rhythm and continuity to life, and it's very valuable to me.
Yeah, and for the future, for doing nano, like the nano in-person meets are one way mm-hmm. to do that as well, to kind of start to meet yep. Writers in your area.
Almost,
and I will
almost
add
everywhere,
that,
if you go on the nano forums, you'll find write-in announcements where everyone gathers at a local
restaurant. And I will add that those writers that are still my dear friends that are from all of these sort of different stages that I've collected over the course of my career, very few of them write anything similar to what I write. We all write different stuff. Many of them are genre, many of them are romance, a few of them are literary, but none of them necessarily writes like something like I write, or necessarily write something that I would read. And so that becomes less relevant at most points in your career when compared against people who are at the same point in their career mm-hmm. as you are, who you can, you know, hold hands with on the journey.
And the thing with peers is that in this business, you don't compete with your peers. You're all basically trying to wade through the same swamp together. And it's good to have people to reach out to.
It's also the only thing that protects us, the fact that authors talk to each other, or creatives talk to each other, quite frankly. True. You know, like Audiblegate. If Audiblegate showed us nothing, Audiblegate, for those of you in the future, is happening right now. And if it showed us nothing else, it showed us that authors have to talk to each other about the nitty-gritty of what's going on with payments and contracts and all this stuff. And traditional publishers hate it. They hate it.
Yep, they do. Well, quite a lot of the business model, not just publishers, but distributors and film studios, quite a lot of the business model.
Yeah, everybody. I was going to say, it turns out
exploiting
Amazon
the
and the rest also hate it. Yep. Yes, because it is the only way we can protect ourselves from being naive is communicating what's going on.
So you were talking about peers a lot. Sorry, I've been trying to interject for a bit. When you say peers, do you mean age peers or skill peers?
Either.
Both.
Yeah, either.
Pretty much at your age, both. Sorry.
You do you mean separately out with old or farts. In the same person?
In the same person, if you can. At least one.
This would be easier to find with writing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not in college.
Well, Dan found a lot of his in college.
Well, I found...
Or out of college.
I found them when I was in college. I didn't find them in college.
What?
Yes.
I didn't find them at college. I found them while I was in college. I didn't find them in the classes I was going to.
Yeah. I guess I'm almost college-aged, so maybe they count at this point.
Soon!
Oh, you're attending college now.
Yeah, but that's not the same as having an age peer. It's the same as
an
academic peer or something close to it.
Okay, when we're talking about age peers, we're talking about generally people that are within...
3 or 4 years.
A few years of
your age. Yeah, we're talking about generation peers, so to speak.
People under, 25 and in the same skill level would count as age peers. Someone over
probably not.
40, probably not.
We're the older generation here. Yep.
God. For the old farts.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
When did we become the old farts, Dan?
Happened while we weren't looking. We were too busy typing.
It totally did. Yes. We didn't look up from our computers, and the time passed us by.
I'm having a hard time finding age art peers. Apparently, art takes a long time to learn, and some people don't learn when they're 5.
So they do it now.
Yep. It will become easier as you get older, and also as you circulate more. You learn to recognize the particular flavor of madness.
Why is it so rare, though?
Enjoying art is universal. Enjoying or caring about it enough to create it is much rarer. And being obsessive and or interested enough to stick with it, to get good at it, to develop a voice, and to become the sort of person who has something interesting to say is incredibly rare. You're talking a very small subset of the population, 5% maybe. The world needs all kinds of people. It needs people like us. It needs people that build houses. It needs people that run banks. It, God help us, needs politicians. I can't believe I said anything so dirty. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm not going to bleep that one out. But
yeah, there's the professions that save lives and the professions that make That's lives right. worth living.
But each of those professions is a very narrow subset of the population. But the class of professions with whom you as an artist have a lot in common with is going to be a lot smaller than the class of professions that you would have a lot in common with if you were a therapist or an office worker or that sort of thing.
I think part of my problem is that visual art feels more competitive than how you guys are describing writing.
It may be I don't have a lot of direct experience, except in photography, which is not quite the same sort of animal.
I might just be doing it wrong.
That's possible, too.
Hey, Kitty.
Hmm?
Is the art field competitive? With the people? Does it feel competitive to you?
I don't know. I don't pay very much attention to other visual artists.
Oh, no.
Probably to my detriment. But from what I've seen on places like DeviantArt and Tumblr, which I haunt but don't really participate in, there is a lot of professional solidarity in terms of advice giving and what to expect from contracts and commissions and under what conditions to work for free and what not to and stuff like that. And also a lot of mutual praise and encouragement. But, you know, a lot of the places I haunt where people are sharing their art is the fan art circuits, and it seems on the edges of that that the ones that are trying to make money on it aren't necessarily sharing their art in the public spaces for legal reasons and whatnot. All
right. Well, anybody got anything else?
I don't think so. Right.
Actually, I don't know that we... Your question on when to publish...
Oh, yes, that's true.
I didn't ask that.
You didn't? Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
You started with saying that you were afraid to publish.
Mm-hmm.
And so were you...
I didn't ask when. I just kind of assumed ASAP.
Oh.
No?
No.
No.
No, I'm, no. like, not even as a comic?
Well, I don't know anything about how comics...
Yeah, we don't know anything about comics, but, no, you should... this goes for everyone. If you are not a professional, and probably even if you are, you should not be publishing your NaNoWriMo project right away.
I don't mean, no. like, try to get it over with as soon as possible. I mean, be working towards it.
Maybe. I don't know. Honestly, this is the modern age, and the very idea that anything I wrote when I was 17 would ever see the internet actually makes me physically ill.
For me, it doesn't bother me at all.
So,
you get two ends of the extreme. The rule of thumb that I heard coming up as a young writer was that, generally speaking, for most people, your first million words isn't really publishable. You can sometimes luck out and turn out a story that's way ahead of your normal baseline as you're discovering your voice. But there is a apprenticeship period, just like there is in the arts or in carpentry or anything, where you are learning to find your own voice reliably. And until you've done that, what you publish will not, in some very basic and important sense, be yours. It'll be a recapitulation of stuff that you've read as you're writing through and getting everyone else's voices out of your head so that you can find your own. For some people, depending on what kind of writing you do aside from fiction, I know some people who have gotten there in as little as a year or two after a few hundred thousand words, and I know people who've taken a couple million words to get there. But there will come a point when what you're writing is yours, and that's the point when you want to start seriously looking at what your publication strategy will be.
Odd.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there are exceptions always to every rule, but including every... affirmative order that yeah. I dole out on this podcast. We are all pretty derivative at the beginning.
Oh boy, was
that's
that
weird.
Ever.
I was expecting that your guys' rule of thumb would be a lot more aggressive than mine. I want to go faster than that.
It is partly good to have that mindset because it will push you. And there is ancillary value in in publishing earlier than you might have 10, 15 years ago when the world changed.
Because, sorry, ancillary?
Side benefit. Which is that because the world has changed, and unless you're very good with the law or very, very easily duped or just not aware of copyright law and whatnot, the way that everyone used to go through the traditional publishing route is not a very good way for most people now that the world has changed. Now, that can always change back. But that means that in addition to learning to be a writer, you have to learn to be a publisher. And that's a whole other skill set. So publishing earlier than you might have in the old world allows you to build up those skills so that the two paths converge. And at that point, you'll be faced with a choice of whether you want to pull down all of the old stuff or you want to look over it and decide if some of it is up to snuff and you leave that up and you pull the other stuff. But that's a marketing decision that you make when you get to that point.
And are you supposed to edit it before showing it to someone?
It depends on why you're showing it to someone.
And who?
It also depends on what you mean by editing. If you're talking about proofreading, typos, basic continuity, yeah, it's a good idea. But if you're showing it to someone because you want to get their reaction, get their opinion, get advice, you want them to see it fairly raw because you want them to see what it is you're producing. If you're wanting to show it to someone because you want them to be entertained and enjoy the story and not even notice that it was you that wrote it, you want to give them a finished product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also just don't want to frustrate your reader with anything but the story early on. So, you know, making it at least as simply clean as you possibly can is the only polite if you're, you know, asking for their time and reading it. Like with anything, when you are, you know, working with a beta reader for the first time or an editor or whatever, put yourself in their shoes. What would you want to be handed? Mm-hmm. What would you want to read? How would you feel if somebody gave you something full of spelling mistakes? So, you know, empathy. It works.
Do you count sentence structure and tenses as typos?
I'll let you know when you show me your manuscript. How's that?
Well, I want to know if I need to get editing it fast or ASAP or something. Or,
well, like Dan and I said, we would.
And if I'm supposed to finish it first.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
You have to finish.
Yeah, you have to finish.
That's the only rule there is, really. In fact, it's the only rule I have.
I was going to finish anyway.
I have only one rule, which is you're a writer until you finish something, and then you're an author.
Yep.
But until you finish it, you're a writer.
No, my problem is that I feel like I'm writing into a void, and I have nothing bouncing back at me. And I know if I try to read it by myself to figure out what I'm doing wrong, it's going to be incredibly intimidating and incredibly discouraging.
I understand. Let's talk some more after we're done recording.
All right.
I think we'll be able to work something out. Anybody else got anything?
Goodbye forever.
Goodbye forever.
Because you're dying, not me.
Well, then I got something before we go. I have had so much fun this month. This has been such a daily source of delight, and I can't thank the four of you enough for these evening meetings. I go to bed every night smiling, even when I've had a shit day. And I'm going to really miss it.
Aww.
It's been great.
It has been really fun, Dan. I'm glad we got to do it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for all of us here at the Nano Gangbang 2020 edition. And we'll be back, I think tomorrow. Yeah, I've got enough episodes banked to start the cast back up tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow with the regularly scheduled programming. But we are thin on questions right now, so now's the time to send them in so I can get a good block done that'll carry us through to the new year.
Although you have taken some notes during the course of this cast on things that would make good topics, remember?
Yep. So I've got some series ideas as well that the next year of the NanoCast is going to have a lot of series in it, which we haven't done for a couple of years, but they are a lot of fun, so we'll be doing some of that. And for those of you like me who didn't finish, join me on the forums. I've started a solidarity thread for us looking to complete. Even if you haven't been there all this time, you can join us now. We'd love to have you.
You can find the forums at jdsawyer.net/forums, or by going to The Everyday Novelist and clicking on the forums link, or by looking in the show notes of this episode.
So thank you, all of us, for joining us. And meanwhile, Kitty and I will see you tomorrow.
Bye for the last time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.